All right, thank you so much. My name is Fred Diamond. Of course, I'm the co-founder of the Institute for Excellence in Sales and the host and the producer of the Sales Game Changers podcast. Today is the Optimal Sales Mindset. It's Thursday. Thanks for being with us today. Hey, if you're listening to this as a Sales Game Changers podcast, sometime in the future, as you know, we transcribe all of our episodes. You can read the complete transcription of today's show, salesgamechangerspodcast.com/mission/mission. Hey, I want to thank the platinum sponsors of the Institute for Excellence in Sales. Of course, we have Cvent, Amazon Web Services, DataCite, SAP NS2, Red Hat, Dell Technologies, and Azure Strategies. So this is a special episode of the Optimal Sales Mindset. Many, many times over the past year or two, we've always talked about how sales professionals need to understand their why. Of course, that was made famous in Simon Sinek's classic TED Talk. And we've had guests like Lisa McLeod talking about understanding your purpose, understanding your mission. And we believe if you understand that, your why and your mission, it'll help you grow your professional career substantially. So in addition to helping sales professionals understand how to take their lives to the next level, one of my other passions is helping people recover from chronic illness, specifically chronic Lyme. Many of you know that my significant other has chronic Lyme. So we're bringing two of my passions together, helping educate the world about more and more about chronic Lyme and chronic illness. And of course, our audience of sales professionals, how to take your sales career by truly understanding what your mission is and how to get there. Chronic Lyme, it's a silent epidemic. It's an insidious disease. There's no real cure. I mean, it can rip families apart, cause debilitating pain, and take lives off course. But I'm very excited in my journey through helping my significant other understand how we can heal and how we can overcome the disease. I've met some amazing leaders who have conquered chronic illness, chronic Lyme, and it's changed their career paths to helping others suffering from chronic illness change their lives as well. So we have three very, very special people on today's panel. We're going to talk a little bit about their journey through conquering chronic Lyme and also their journey about, you know, really understanding what their life's mission is. So first we have Greg Kirk. Greg's a digital sales support marketing director by trade, but he switched career paths after his decade-long struggle with Lyme disease. After reaching remission, he authored the book, The Gratitude Curve, and he founded a nonprofit Lyme patient fund called Ticked Off Foundation. I've read The Gratitude Curve. That's how I got to meet Craig. Greg. Tanya Hobel is the vice president of the Lyme Center in Chico, California, as well as the co-founder of the popular Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors Facebook group. And she's also the co-host of the Integrated Lyme Solutions podcast. I've listened to every episode. She and a medical professional, who I'll mention in a little bit, I guess, bring on someone else who's conquered Lyme, and they go through their journey to healing. And we have JP David. He's the founder of Lyme Friends and the author of Lyme Book, Journey to Becoming One Day Better. After overcoming chronic illness, he's been focused on making each day better and helping others do the same. So for our listeners today, I hope you get some value out of this. This is going to be a fantastic conversation. It's going to be inspiring. It's going to be uplifting. And hopefully it'll give you some triggers to really understand what your mission is. And that, of course, will help you as a sales professional. So to our panel, thank you all so much for being here. I really appreciate all of you. I've learned a lot from, again, from Greg, from your book, and JP, from your book, and the webinars that you've done, and Tanya, of course, your podcast, and I'm a frequent poster on the Lyme Warriors, the Lyme Conquerors, you know, mentoring Lyme Warriors Facebook group as well, and it's truly changed my life getting to know you all. So Tanya, why don't you go first? Why don't you tell us about your journey with your chronic illness recovery?
All right. Hi, Fred. And I just want to thank you so much for doing this special episode for us to acknowledge and spread awareness about Lyme disease, because it is truly a pandemic. So in 2004, I was bit by a tick, and I was one of the few who got an actual bullseye rash from the bite. That is a telltale sign of a tick bite. Unfortunately, I was not educated, and so therefore I did not know that I was bitten by a tick. 4 years later is when my illness came out of nowhere. It all started one day with rapid onset pain in my elbow. Little did I know that was the beginning of a very long journey, exhausting journey. The pain managed to creep through every single inch of my body. And to my friends, I described that it felt like I had been ran over by a semi-truck. I had the worst flu and the worst hangover ever, all combined. And it was every day. There was no reprieve from it. As I tried to explain to the doctors, who were not believing me that something was wrong, I would tell them that I felt like I had bone cancer. The pain radiated so deep into my body that it felt like I had bone cancer. That was the only way I could explain to them how painful it was. As if that was not enough, my overall exhaustion finally set in. And if that wasn't enough, then my overall, literally, I lost my mind. Trying to navigate through my days of doctors and tests and everyday living, I had post-it notes throughout my house reminding me of the simple tasks that people do every single day. I had alarms going off on my phone all the time because I had to take medications every hour, every so many hours on each day, and that was the only way I could remember it. I took a lot of pills every day, and I could take a bottle of pills, and I would know if I needed to take it morning or night and how many. And then I had a pill container where you would put them in for the AM or the PM. And my mind was so sick, I could not take the pill from the bottle that I knew how to take it out of the bottle and put it in the proper pill organizer. That is what Lyme does to you neurologically. It was just too overwhelming for my brain. So I could no longer pay my own bills. I could no longer write a check. I didn't know what it was. So my amazing life as I knew it quickly turned me bedridden with a caregiver, and I didn't even know my own name.
Wow. It's been an amazing journey, and you've talked about this journey again on your podcast, and I recommend that it's really an inspiring podcast, and thank you very much for sharing. Greg Kirk, you go into your story in your book, The Gratitude Curve, and you've been through some amazing challenges as well to get to the point where you've been able to get to this point to achieve your mission. Tell us a little bit about your journey to chronic illness recovery.
Yeah, mine was not classic in any way. I had no tick bite that I ever saw. Years, literally decades later, I realized it may have actually been a spider bite. And just so everyone knows, ticks are not the only thing that can spread Lyme disease. It's any insect that can bite you, including horseflies, fleas, lice, even mosquitoes in some cases. All of those bugs can cause Lyme disease, and the tick doesn't have to be on you for a full day or whatever the CDC is saying nowadays. It can transfer the disease within an hour. So I didn't know what was wrong with me. And the other thing is I didn't have classic Lyme symptoms. I would say Tanya had, you know, the pain, and usually joint pain is pretty classic, and overwhelming fatigue and things like that are classic symptoms. Mine were not those at all. Mine came up whenever I would eat. So I would eat a meal, and then it would feel like I'd been drugged. I'd get completely disoriented. And in some cases, depending on what I ate, I'd have to go lie down in the back of a car upon 10 minutes of eating. So I had, you know, some sort of leaky gut, intestinal infection. So I went to see gastroenterologists, and it took me 2 years to get, you know, properly diagnosed. And at that point, I thought, well, good, now it's Lyme disease. You just take some antibiotics and you'll get better. And that's really when the odyssey began. And I live in Connecticut. This is where Lyme was discovered. And you would think, oh, you got the best doctors there. No, the doctors just bludgeoned me with antibiotic upon antibiotic, bicillin injections, pick lines, one pick line insertion, jabbed my heart, almost died on the operating table. I had heart damage from it, you know, all kinds of horror stories. And I stayed on antibiotics for almost 6 straight years until my immune system shut down and I got pneumonia that became untreatable. So, I stopped listening to my doctors and I left Western medical system and I became my own practitioner. And I started using herbal treatments and I started using energy healing. I chronicle a situation where I went to Brazil to see a healer. I had a miraculous healing that actually changed my appearance. I came back fully healed, but then it wasn't over. I went right back into my stressful lifestyle, corporate lifestyle, where I was doing sales support, digital sales support. I ran websites and digital content, and it was very high impact, high stress. And I started experiencing some of my symptoms coming back. And at that point, I thought, why have I gone through all of this? And I'll talk about my why and my mission later. But at that point, I started realizing that the disease wasn't just something to be conquered, that it was actually giving me information. You know, any disease is telling you that you've got an imbalance in your life. And that's what I finally realized. And so I'll talk more about that later. But thanks for putting this together, Fred. We all really, really appreciate what you're doing here.
Yeah, well, I appreciate y'all for coming on and telling us your stories. And like I said, we're doing this to give to get the word out. You know, it's a again, my significant other of 11 years has had Lyme disease, and it's just there's so many aspects to it in so many ways. JP, you're the author of a Lyme book, so tell us about your journey and tell us how you eventually got to the point where you were able to get to the other side with your chronic illness recovery.
Thanks, Fred. Well, the one thing I could always count on, whether it was in as a financial advisor or whether it was playing lacrosse at a high level, was the fact that I would outwork everyone around me. And really, I was blindsided by my illness. The advice that I can share is that you will get sick. It's not what you see coming that kills you. Up until 2005, I was a great athlete playing lacrosse as a midfielder at the Virginia Military Institute, University of Pittsburgh as well. And my mindset was always, if you're good, I was better. But I was blindsided by my arrogance. And at the top of my game, I collapsed on a squat rack. I could no longer outwork anyone. I would have given anything for just one day of freedom, every dollar I had for just one day of reprieve from the neurological pain all over my bodies. I begged my doctors to cut my legs off and began to the alcohol and any type of drugs, you know, really started to look good, not narcotics, but you know, anything to kill the pain from doctors. Physical, the mental pains, it was just, it was very humbling. I was humbled by the relentless lack of control, that was just like pushed onto me. And the disease, it was like a python squeezing the life out of me. Anytime I let my guard down, basically it just would squeeze tighter and tighter and tighter. So I had to get really rigid in all of my treatments. I begged my doctors to cut my legs off, and I surrendered to a life in a wheelchair. I could no longer put on a show in sales meetings, and the energy that I put out talking for a few hours, like we all do in sales, would just cause my body to crash, and I would push myself thinking I was who I used to be, but occasionally become overwhelmed. I had to halt activity immediately. Activity being, whether it's speaking or working in front of people, because I started to have seizures and just breakdowns. But when you get sick, you learn quickly that you need a team, and healthcare is more than what you typically would think. And if you want to regain your freedom, it's sometimes more work than you could ever imagine. When I was sick, I was desperate to find the answers I needed. I had top CEO level doctors who told me to come back and share my story with them if I ever had any improvements. And these were the top dogs, really in the industry. To wrap up, I was in a competitive industry selling financials, competitive against peers, sales numbers, and accountable to management and my clients. Every conversation I had, I now had to be guarded, and not only can you not trust, could I not trust anyone else? I couldn't even trust myself to no fault of my own. Once a bull or a lion hunting deals outworking everyone, now a lamb, and I was scrambling to save enough deals just to pay the $6,000 to $10,000 every single month necessary for the treatments. Savings went quickly in sales job. You're 100% commission. And when you're talking about that much money per month of what you need, you know, disability really was not an option.
So once again, all three of you, you're very inspirational stories for people who are struggling and suffering. And you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned the expense. You know, a lot of cases, insurance doesn't cover a lot of the expenses. You know, you mentioned alternative types of medicine, you know, that you've all had to seek out at various times. And, you know, you also talk about, you know, mind, body, and spirit. There's a lot of things that go into the recovery. It's just not about medicine. Greg, you mentioned taking antibiotics for a long time, and, you know, that can only go so far. By the way, if people want to learn more about your story, just reach out. Tanya talks about it on her podcast, and Greg and JP talk about it both in their books. So let's talk a little bit about the shift. Again, we're talking today about how you've overcome a lot of the struggles to understand your why, as we like to call it, or the mission. Let's talk a little bit about how that transition happened. Again, you know, the disease is nefarious, it's insidious, it's indiscriminate, if you will, and it's just, there's so much that's horrible about it. But one of the cool things is meeting people like you who have been able to get past it at some level and have been able to find purpose and mission in your life. Greg, why don't you go first? So again, talk about, when did you finally realize, I mean, I know you run a not-for-profit, you run a clinic, talk about that a little bit. When did you realize the shift had happened, that your life had shifted and your mission had evolved?
Started when I was at my worst, where I was at the point where I wanted to die, and I just wasn't dying. One night I had more or less a heart attack as a result of that PICC line jab, and at that point I thought, oh, okay, you know, I started to pray to, you know, have God take me, and I'd led a great life up to that point, I thought, but I you know, I wasn't gonna do it by my own hand. But so it didn't happen. It was one of these weird situations where I wanted to die, but I kept hanging around. And then I started kind of looking inward, like, what, why am I still here? And why have I gone through this? You know, is this some kind of weird karma thing? Did I deserve this? Did I kill someone in a past life? Like, why am I going through all of this mental and physical punishment? And then I just, after I had that night where I just kind of, I let everything go, you know, and I just felt like, you know, there's that Janis Joplin song, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And I really had nothing left to lose anymore. I just felt like my life had burnt to the ground. And I started looking at my life in a different way. Like, you know, forest fires are actually really good for forests, believe it or not. You know, they burn away the dead part of the forest and they leave room for new growth. And I thought, what if that's happening to my life? Maybe this disease is pointing me in a direction. Maybe I was going in the wrong direction in my life, as much as I liked my life at the time. And I just started to let it happen. It's a strange feeling. JP talked about feeling out of control. And I didn't like it at first, but then I just thought, what the hell? Let's see where this takes me. And the less I resisted, the more things started changing in very unexpected ways. So I more or less got jettisoned from the corporate world and went through a period of time where I was making quite a bit of money. To, you know, I wasn't. And I just decided I'm just going to start doing nonprofit work and just, you know, fly on the trapeze without a net. And it was some wild times. And, you know, I wasn't making a lot of money. And then so to add to being able to make some money, I was actually trained by Dr. Cowden. He has developed a protocol, and it's one of the protocols that helped me get better. I was lucky enough to be invited to be trained with 15 doctors. It just made no sense. It was just one of these weird coincidences where he trained me with 15 doctors, and I started, and I learned energy healing before that. So I opened my clinic in Connecticut in 2017, and I started doing that for a living along with the foundation work. So the more I started focusing on that type of work, the more I realized this is why I'm here. Because, you know, during the dark days, I thought, you know, why am I going through this? And then, you know, a couple of friends talked to me about that. And they said, you know that healers are usually the wounded ones. And they're the ones who need to experience it so that they can better help people heal. And that was when I realized my why. Right there.
Great. That's excellent, man. And we'll get a little bit deeper in the next question about specifically some of the things that you're doing. Tanya, there's probably a lot there that Greg said you could probably relate to as well. You've had some unbelievable experiences in your life that have gotten you to this point, that have obviously forced you to rethink. But talk about, you know, when did you make that shift when you realized that your purpose and your mission in life was to help people with chronic illness move forward?
Well, yeah, like a lot of what Greg said, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a good person, I feel like I do the right thing. It just felt like, you know, time and time again, things were not looking my way. And then once again, here I am, set with this horrible, debilitating illness. And I had no explanation. So it was when I was nearing the end of my treatment. So that was probably about 9 years into my illness. I could, for the first time, see the light at the end of the tunnel. I really had some faith that I was going to get better. By now, my brain had been functioning at a more optimal level than it had been for the last 9 years. And I really had some time to just kind of sit back and really reflect on the last decade of my life. And because of the lack of knowledge about Lyme disease that I had personally, that caused me to get sick, because I was the lucky one who got the bullseye rash, but I didn't know what it meant. So I think that there needs to be so much more awareness about it. I always jokingly say that I could be a therapist, a pharmacist, and a doctor. Unfortunately, I just don't have the credentials for that, because you truly do need to be your own advocate when you're dealing with Lyme, because Western medicine failed me time and time again. So knowing the hundreds of thousands of dollars that I spent during this Lyme journey, how it had truly financially ruined me, I didn't let it physically or emotionally ruin me, because I continued to fight back. I thought, how can I possibly allow another human being go through even one day of what I've gone through over the last 9 years? And I knew somehow that I had to help. I didn't know how or what, but I thought, all of this knowledge I've learned over all these years has to be good for something. So that's when I decided that my new mission in life needed to be to educate and advocate for those that are too sick to do it themselves. And that's why I do what I do.
That's very powerful. We'll talk a little bit more in a second or two about what specifically you're doing. JP, how about you? So tell us a little bit about when that shift happened for you.
Well, I remember playing golf with a potential client, and this is probably back in 2007 or 2008. He was a retiring dentist, and I was attempting to earn his financial advisory account. And this account would have been something that would have changed my life, being very sick at that point, just making things a lot easier for me financially. And during this time in my life, absolutely nothing was going right for me. Even golf, which for me had been an outlet since I was 12 years old, was now stealing more energy from me than it was providing me with mental freedom. So that even the things that I love were taking away more energy than they would typically feed my soul. During the round, I remember speaking freely with the potential client, and I shared with him that I couldn't believe the lack of support for people with anxiety. You know, without thinking, I told him that, and that I was going to cure my illness and figure out why, or a way to retire early, then build facilities to help other people with anxiety. Retreats where anyone could go for free a few days, or you know, really to earn the tools so that they could relax, have that mental freedom. And I believe that revealing this to my friend was a deal breaker. You know, not sure whether he saw my anxiety as a weakness, or thought maybe I wouldn't be a financial advisor very long, but I didn't get the deal. And what I did, though, is I got a greater gift was that why. I did realize that for the first time, I was really speaking without a filter. I projected this idea out to the universe, and apparently the universe was holding me accountable. Ever since, I've been a man on a mission. I spoke it into existence. I meditated on it. Apparently the universe approved, and I kept speaking ideas and thoughts to the world, no matter how crazy they seem to be, and all the ducks keep lining up, whether it's funding or, you know, or the tools that I need. So when I was sick, I dreamt of a platform that it would allow sick people to connect more easier with one another. You know, Facebook had evolved at this point, and it is a helpful tool, but I imagined a social platform that was more like online dating for wellness. And this tool I created, it evolved into the idea of crowd curing Lyme disease and chronic illness, and eventually evolving again into the Lyme Friends Healing app and the LymeFriends.com platform. I fund my ideas through my financial advisory practice, which also really, this helped me to create a sales niche as I was able to converge my two passions. Right now, I moved away from the banks. I was with the banks for 15 years, and I opened up my own practice, president of Good Life Financial of Pittsburgh. I have a big Venn diagram on the front of my building, and it says health plus wealth equals freedom. I created an interactive health and wealth advisory practice, and you know, my passion became my niche.
Very good. So again, we're talking today with Greg Kirk, with Tanya Hobel, and JP David. It's a special episode of the Optimal Sales Mindset. It's how conquering chronic illness, specifically chronic Lyme, helped these leaders discover their why. You can read the complete transcription, salesgamechangerspodcast.com/mission. You know, one thing that y'all have talked about is, you know, if you break an ankle, you go to an orthopedic surgeon, he puts you in a cast, 6 weeks later, you're good. You know, with chronic Lyme, there's no specific answer. You know, especially if you were infected a long time ago, and a very common thing is you don't get diagnosed with something like chronic Lyme. Maybe you get diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome or something related to that, which is wrong, and then you live for 20, 30 years without the wrong diagnosis for what you have. So it's such a challenge. Let's talk a little bit though about what you're doing now. You know, again, we talked about how y'all made this shift, you found your why. Now you're devoting your life to helping people who are struggling. And I'll tell you, man, if you go on some of the Facebook groups that we're talking about, so many people are struggling. It's almost like a hidden disease. You know, people are rallying around people with cancer, as they should. It's pretty obvious when someone has cancer, but when someone has Lyme or some of the related, you know, co-infections, if you will, you can't see it per se. So, you know, you don't know why someone's bedridden, or you don't know why somebody doesn't have the energy, or we've mentioned anxiety, we've mentioned depression. There are so many things that relate to this. Let's talk a little bit about specifically what you're doing and how it's put more meaning in your life. Tanya, why don't you go first? Talk about exactly what you're doing today, and then we'll talk about the meaning, then JP, and then Greg, you'll bring us home.
All right. I can't thank you enough for doing this, Fred, because there's just not enough awareness about this. So I just have to stress it again. So Lyme disease, it's an absolutely life-changing illness. The good that did come from it was it gave me the opportunity to make some incredible friendships with people that I otherwise have never met. I've always considered myself a very chatty girl, a very bubbly girl, very outgoing, never really had a negative thing to say about anything in life because everything happens for a reason. But in my darkest days during my journey, I actually contemplated suicide. I thought there was no other way to end my pain. I'm so thankful that I found another resource to end my suffering. It truly does tend to make you feel a little more grateful for all the little things in life. Even though I never felt ungrateful, I think maybe I took the birds chirping outside for granted, whereas I used to not be able to go outside to hear them. So things like that, it really did kind of change my way of thinking. It proved to me also that someone on top of the world, emotionally, financially, the top of their career, like I was prior to Lyme, can in one moment lose it all. I could have been one of those people homeless on the streets that you see roaming around and you often wonder why they're there. That is what Lyme do physically, emotionally, and financially. So because of the fact that this positive person contemplated suicide at one point. I thought, I've got to do something. I've got to make a difference. And that is when I became so involved in advocating for Lyme. So I run a nonprofit organization. It's called the Lyme Center, lymecenter.org. It's based out of Chico, California. And we, our mission is to educate and advocate for Lyme. We do fundraisers to help money. This last spring, we were able to have a great amount of patients tested through one of the well-known labs, Igenix, in Palo Alto, California. And we were able to pay for that by the donations and the fundraisers that we get. I'm also the co-founder of an incredible mentoring group. This group has proved to be more than I ever dreamt it to be in such a short amount of time. We offer lots of treatment options and just help educate them on so many different levels of Lyme because there are so many facets of it. We do bi-monthly Zoom calls. We're also, last night, we had our first healing concert through vibrations and sound. So we're coming up with new and great ways every week to help all of those that are struggling through Lyme. And I even managed to find time to co-host a weekly podcast, Integrative Lyme Solutions. So I do it with an integrative doctor, very generous with his time, Dr. Michael Carlfelt. Him and I interview right now. Our podcast is leading interviews of those that have beaten Lyme. So kind of where their journey started, when they got sick, how they treated, and where they are now. So it's been another great way just to add those relationships into my community. I love it. And this year, I also pushed even further, and I will continue to do this part of my journey. I went up against Congress this year in Washington, D.C. to help push legislature for more money for Lyme research. And it's going to be an annual thing that's on my calendar every year because we need it. We need it. We need our voices. We need people like you, Fred. We've got to keep these people healthy and we've got to figure out how to get them better.
You know, Tanya, good for you. Those are some amazing things. For people listening today, you know, the Western medical world doesn't really understand Lyme in many ways. You have to search for what's called a Lyme literate doctor, Lyme literate medical doctor. Sometimes they're hard to find. There aren't that many. A lot of the doctors out there who are now Lyme doctors started off as OBGYNs or nutritionists. You know, it's a profession that some have recently moved into, in many cases, because they were also affected by Lyme and had to figure out a way to solve their own problems. You know, if you have chronic Lyme, a lot of times you're the only person who can figure it out. You know, there's so many different factors and things that you've done in your life that have led you to this particular moment. And the services and resources that you're providing, particularly on the Facebook groups, have allowed people to come together to ask questions, to get some advice, to get some solace, you know, get a little bit of love and attention that they might not be getting in other places. So very proud to have met you, and I'm very proud of all the great work you've done. JP, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about what you're doing now and how it's allowed you to get more meaning in your life.
So what I'm doing now is I have the interactive health and well space, which really took me from having a job to a passion and a purpose. And every single day, you know, now coming into my office, I never think about it as work. And, you know, historically, when I was a kid, carrying golf bags as a caddy or working at McDonald's, I always liked those, you know, like those jobs. Financial advisory for me in a corporate setting became a job as a 9-to-5. And now it is a passion, and I'm allowed to really, you know, split my time when it comes to not just the work and helping my clients, but I have a new client, for example, come in. Over the last year, I've been able to help actually three of my close clients very quickly find answers to very large health issues. One of them was actually Lyme disease. Another was an urgent situation. They had to, they were from out of town, outside of Pittsburgh. They were in Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden, her husband, the client's husband, has a heart attack. They were flying to go to a hospital, and I just, they called me. I diverted them to another hospital where I knew a cardiologist. But the idea is that I was combining these two, you know, my passion with my job and really creating that niche. In regards to healthcare, as a passion, Lyme disease as a passion, I have Lyme friends. I work tightly and closely with Tanya as a partner in the and Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors Facebook page. We host mentoring calls. I have LymeFriends.com. It has is a platform that that acts like a dashboard for people with Lyme disease to go to as a one-stop shop for all of their resources. I collect resources without worrying about any competition, bringing everything together to help them find answers sooner. You know, whenever I was sick and having to streamline my efficiency with my body, it really taught me a lot about processes. And learning a lot about those processes, I carried that over to healthcare. I was able to then form a goal to not just help with Lyme disease, but my goal really in the big picture and grand picture is to really to change the literacy and vocabulary of healthcare using technology. And right now I'm testing, retesting, improving technology all the time, trying to help people become one day better. And it's certainly high risk, high reward, but it has certainly given me a very clear purpose.
Very good. Congratulations on all the great work. The book is fantastic. So congratulations on being published. And speaking of publication, Greg Kirk, the author of The Gratitude Curve, why don't you bring us home on this subject again? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now and how it's helped you get more meaning in life.
Well, after I got better in 2012, my knee-jerk reaction was, being a former musician, I long before I got into the corporate world, I ran an entertainment magazine in Philadelphia. So I had a lot of experience putting festivals, music festivals and things together. So the first thing I did was create the Ticked Off Music Fest. So we raised money, we held live concerts, and the first concert we ever held, the people who showed up, 80% of them were Lyme patients, which shocked me because I thought the people who were going to show up were the well people, you know, who had the money, who wanted to donate money to us. And at the time we were giving money to research and awareness and things like that. Well, these people came in walkers, oxygen tanks. I mean, they hobbled in and they were really not even there to see the music. They needed information. They didn't know how to handle their disease. And the more we held these, we held them all in trouble spots across the country, like in Florida, we held one in Hawaii. You know, these are states that are not supposed to have Lyme disease. Lyme disease is in every state. Whether or not people get infected in those states, you know, in a state like Hawaii, it's a 70% military personnel. They're getting infected in different parts of the world and coming to Hawaii where they say there's no Lyme disease, well, these people are sick. So anyway, we raised awareness, but instantly within the first year, I realized there's a bigger problem that my nose is being shoved into. There is a patient care problem. People have no money. They're not getting diagnosed properly. When they finally are, they're not getting the proper care. And even, you know, going to an LLMD is a better situation, but a lot of times they're not the best people either. So I took a step back. I thought, if I had $1 billion, what would I do? And I thought I would create a healthcare system, you know, like an insurance system that funded treatment, because most of the treatments that worked for me were not covered by insurance, the herbal treatments and so forth. So I thought, wait a minute, I don't need to wait until I'm a billionaire. I can start a foundation, a nonprofit, that people come to us, they get qualified through some documentation, and we, you know, give them monthly stipends. And it started off by us patterning after some other groups that give thousands of dollars to patients. But we quickly found that, you know, once the word got out that Ticked Off Foundation was giving away free money, we got overwhelmed. So what we do now is we give out what I call micro grants. So we get people who are qualified. We sit down with every single one of those patients for at least an hour long chat, find out their level of need and find out what's the best thing for them. And then we give them a micro grant every month. So that started. In the middle of all that, I contacted Nutramatics, the company that made the Cowden Protocol. And I reached out to them and to see if we could form some sort of an alliance, because we're a nonprofit and they are a for-profit. They said, we can't donate to you, but we can give discounts for people who qualify. So we began that situation. An odd thing happened in the middle of that relationship where the CEO said, Greg, would you like to be trained by Dr. Cowden? He had no idea my background, and talk about the world, the universe opening up and just like landing him at my feet. It was like, wow. So I got trained by Dr. Cowden. And then within a year, and because of my own healing background and everything I've gone through, I'm a non-certified practitioner. You know, I can't prescribe medicines or anything like that. What I help people with is, number one, the Cowden protocol and some other protocols that I learned, like the Zhang protocol and some herbal treatments, along with other detox treatments and things that I had to figure out on my own because the doctors didn't know about them. And I do energy healing. So on top of all that, I've had several patients go into remission using these practices and these protocols. So and then after that, I wrote the gratitude curve. So basically, basically what Tanya said, in the middle of all this, I realized that my mission was to help people avoid what I went through, or at least guide them through it.
Very, very powerful, very inspiring stories. Again, for the sales professionals listening today, you know, figure out, take some lessons here, figure out what your mission is. And usually it's related to what you're doing for your customer. Why are you serving this particular marketplace? And how could you provide even more value to them to help them achieve their goals and help their customers achieve their goals? So I want to thank Tanya Hobel. I want to thank JP David. I want to thank Greg Kirk for inspiring us today. Thank you all for the amazing stuff you're doing. You know, one thing that just triggered for Greg is there's a lot of ground level things that can be done. You know, one thing I've noticed is, like we talked about a couple times, is a lot of people are struggling. Like we said before, it's an expensive disease to cover. Not everybody understands it. A lot of times I've met people who their spouse doesn't understand or their family doesn't understand, and that leads to a lot of challenge as well. So I want to applaud all three of you. Again, you could read the complete transcription, salesgamechangerspodcast.com/mission, as we like to do with all of our Sales Game Changers podcasts and the Optimal Sales Mindset. We like to have an action step. You've all given us some very inspiring ideas. Give us something brief, something specific the people listening today to do, can do to take their mission to the next level and begin to implement this. Tanya, why don't you go first? Give us an action step that you recommend people do today to really begin to think about applying their mission to their life.
So I think that with whatever you do in your life, however you choose to support yourself in life, it's something that you need to be passionate about. You can't really sell something if you don't believe in the product. I think that, well, I'm going to give you an example. So I always tend to pick on car salesmen. I don't know why, but they're always my number one pick. So let's say, for example, you have a loved one that was seriously injured or possibly even worse. And you knew in your heart that if they were in a safer vehicle with more safety features, that things would have turned out differently. So that, to me, being a salesman, that would be my why, is because I want to protect other families from having one of their loved ones be involved in such a horrific accident. That would be, like I said, that would be my why. So you can protect every human driving so that your loved ones or their loved ones don't ever get that phone call. That would be your reason to do what you're doing. And it's so important to have the why and be passionate about it.
Very powerful. Thank you so much. Greg, why don't you go next and then JP will bring us home.
Yeah. A man named Joseph Campbell has a famous quote, follow your bliss. It more or less parallels what Tanya was saying. Follow your passion. The best thing you can do is follow what, you know, sets you on fire so that your work is not work. It comes easy and it's easy to do. And that's basically what I did. If you're chasing money, you know, that's all you're going to get. So
eventually that becomes dry. By the way, it's good to hear you're in Philly. As a lot of our listeners know, I'm from Philly as well. So it's always good to have some people who spend some time in Philly. Great. JP David, why don't you bring us home? Give us an action step. Again, you've been in sales. So out of all of our panelists, you could probably relate to this the most. Give us a specific action step for the people listening to the podcast today or watching the webinar to take their life to the next level.
I would say speak from the heart. allow your spirit to speak through you. Everyone has their own internal vibration, and your vibration resonates in your communication, your tone, your nonverbal, and even your endurance. And so everyone knows as a salesperson how important endurance is. Meditate, I would say, on speaking with a pure heart and speak it into the existence the same way you do your sales goals. So post on your mirror, use the secret to manifest your goals. The more you can speak freely and with a pure heart, the more opportunities that will appear clearly that were meant just for you. The reward for speaking with a pure heart is the freedom, physical, financial, and emotional freedom.
Once again, I want to thank Tanya Hobo. I want to thank JP David. I want to thank Greg Kirk for you know, coming on board and being honest. Again, you've published this in your book and your podcast, but hopefully this message will resonate with a lot of the sales professionals. Hey, people out there listening, if you find someone, a relative or a neighbor or somebody who tells you they have chronic illness, specifically Lyme, take them seriously, love them, give them the support that they need. I want to thank you all again. This show is dedicated to Layla, who I love very much. I want to thank you all for being with us today.
Thanks, Greg.